This is a podcast from Cambridge Assessment. For more downloads, visit cambridgeassessment.org.uk.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. It's always a privilege for a head teacher to come and speak to an audience about his school, and I'm very pleased to be able to do that. And I hope that in doing so, I'm able to put a different perspective into your thinking to try and put into practice some of the things that we've been listening to today, which I found very, frankly, reassuring. Stephen, I am delighted that I chose a black background because I think we felt something about what you said as well. A distinctive school it is. They're not my words. They're the words of our inspectors. They couldn't quite get themselves to call us outstanding, and so we gave them a different word and they used it, and so we will continue to use it. For others in the state sector, the state comprehensive sector, we might be distinctive. For others, we might be quirky. At the end of it, you can decide how you feel. We are, to some, a faith school, but our faith is a secular internationalism. And I think that type of rationale helps understand the nature of the school. It goes back to 1967 when Essex Local Education Authority determined to set about finding a school that they could develop along European lines, whatever that meant. And they had to wait until 1973 to find a secondary modern school that was failing and due to close before it had the opportunity to put this into being. The catchment area the school was given was a very small catchment area based on three villages. At this point in time, those villages and the village schools give us about 300 children. We have to earn another 1,100 children to make up the numbers that ensure that a comprehensive school is viable. And so I think we can claim some pioneering history, and I want to use the opportunity here to remind you that the IB is not just about the diploma post 16, but also about the IB career program post 16, the primary years program, and the middle years program. IB World Schools have to demonstrate a number of things that pervade their thinking and their curriculum. It isn't just about the taught subjects. The unifying theme is international mindedness, and we've heard that phrase at least once today. There is an emphasis on cross-curricularity, on collaborative planning. The schools are values-driven. Indeed, in the mission statement, there's a wonderful phrase that I think is about to be reviewed out of the mission statement, where the mission statement currently says that we want to develop young people who understand that other people with their differences might be right. That's challenging for me as a head teacher. And I think it's challenging for all of us, and it creates a very different mindset. My colleagues laugh at me when I talk about the beating heart, but of course a baccalaureate curriculum does have a beating heart. It's not just about the taught subjects. It's about the application of skills. It's about work experience. It's about research. It's about the study of learning itself. It's about community service. But I think that's an important phrase I'd like to draw your attention to. Altogether, we see that this is something that does create young people equipped for the 21st century. I'll draw attention to the IB learner profile. I think if we look at ourselves, let alone our children, we'd like to think this is what we would be. And indeed, it's the learner profile from the IB that we've embraced as a school. How do we assess it? Should we assess it? That's an open question. But it's certainly something that is used to as a guide, if not an inspiration for us as teachers, in developing succeeding generations of young people. The IB learner profile is a really important concept, certainly in my school, and I think in most IB schools. So what is it that makes the Anglo-European school, a state comprehensive school with boys and girls from age 11 to 19, so distinctive or indeed so quirky? I think there is a sense in which what I'm about to share with you here, the five Anglo-European school pillars, these are the key drivers, if you like, of our international ethos. And I think there is a sense in which this is where we've paid the price in terms of Performance League tables and why Ofsted couldn't quite get themselves to call us outstanding. But as I've indicated earlier with our so-called catchment area, we have to remain different and we have to be distinctive. Otherwise, children should go to their local school. We have to do something different to encourage them to come to us. The European dimension, European citizenship was an early driver. That's evolved into global citizenship. Some people ask if that's a valid concept. We believe it is a valid concept. We also understand that citizenship is about political education. We want our children to be politically engaged. And we also want them to be actively engaged in their communities. So but I ought to say that actually Anglo-European school, you've been conned by all of us up here. We're not the Anglo-European school anymore. We are the Anglo-International school, but our name is Anglo-European. It means a lot to us. We're not changing it. But what we are about is international education. Languages for all, you've heard that mentioned, including by Stephen. All of our students study two GCSEs in addition to English. And in the sixth form, that is also a requirement. It is a myth that the British cannot learn languages. We are very attached to the concept of a baccalaureate-style education, of which the International Baccalaureate is a very prominent and distinctive type. Our curriculum is broad. There is no hiding place from languages, but neither is there a hiding place from the humanities, the arts, technology, maths, English, science, physical education, citizenship, etc. And all of those subjects are briefed to develop the international context for their learning. And the world does provide context for learning the Learning Walls subjects. Visits and exchanges have been mentioned. We have 20 partner schools, 700 children travel abroad and 700 come back every year, largely funded by parents, but we do have our own foundation to support that. And fundamentally for us, I think, the mission and values of the IB, that is the engine, if you like. I've used that analogy in a different way previously, but the mission and values of the IB is what drives the school, whether or not the students do IB programmes or not. If you looked at what a baccalaureate education is in a dictionary, you'll not find anything. You'll find some reference to the Greeks and to the giving of laurels, etc. You will not find, at least I can't find, a definition of a baccalaureate education. So we have written our own. And essentially, it's about a breadth of learning that is followed concurrently and that adds up to more than the sum of its parts. And of course, in the context that we're talking about preparation for life in the 21st century. You may not have time to finish reading that, so I'll move on. I mentioned much of this. The subjects there are part of that breadth, but so too are things like Model United Nations, the exchanges, work experience. The government removed the requirement for schools to provide work experience for its students, which was quite a strange decision in our view, but we've insisted on maintaining it. So we encourage our students to do that work experience either in the third sector or abroad or both. It is more than the sum of its parts, the Anglo approach to breadth. Our sixth form has a mix of routes. We offer A-level as well. You'll see the IB route there and the average point score, which is an indicator of what we think is right for each student, taking the breadth that they've enjoyed in the main school and moving into the sixth form. All of those routes include visits, exchanges, clubs, work experience, etc. And, of course, it also includes language. The national picture on breadth is probably one worth moving on from. In my view, the national curriculum is no longer national, and it's not a curriculum. It is not national because academies can do as they choose. It is not a curriculum because it doesn't add up to more than the sum of its parts. The post-Ruskin era maybe did add up to something close to a broad and baccalaureate-style curriculum. Remember the cross-curricular themes. But what we have now are no levels, no vision, and, of course, no beating heart. We do have a move towards breadth in terms of the English baccalaureate and this new performance measure of Progress 8, but of course they are just reflecting a collection of subjects and nothing more coherent or more holistic than that. Traditionally, we've chosen assessment, the best fit of assessment that's available, but now we find the GCSEs are subject to continuous change. Maybe there is no purpose for them, as students have to remain in education till the age of 19. They have never been intended for the entire ability range, and that is certainly the case now. And they're not good preparation for the sixth form. I refuse to call the two sixth form years, year 12 and year 13, because there is no simple progression from year 11. That's the entitlement of a head teacher, I guess. IGCSEs, thank you, have come into the state sector, but now are going again in the sense that they may not feature in league tables. We're looking at the middle years programme of the IB to give us some meaning to that. It's a very different programme. My teachers are now introducing a new national curriculum in year 7, but levels have gone, so they're writing new levels. All we have is Willow Green, which is a cul-de-sac where the school is, and some of the autonomy that comes from being an academy. So for the future, we have to develop our own assessments, both of the qualitative and the quantitative. We need to backward plan from age 19. We need to embrace e-assessment. And I have to say, and I'm sure Cambridge Assessment are doing the same, but the IB are doing some really interesting and encouraging work in terms of e-assessment, which for some of you in the audience may think, oh, no. No, please, that cannot be possible. But what I've seen, I'm very encouraged by. By 2017, we hope that Ofqual will have recognised the middle years programme, and maybe that then is the future for us. I used to say to my senior staff that our job was to scan the horizon. Now I say to all my staff, we have to scan the horizon because we do not know what is coming. But what I do know is that we have the opportunity to engage on Willow Green in Ingatestone, in Essex, in a global network, both through the IB and through other schools that we link with. And I think, therefore, the future, if we retain that autonomy and retain that confidence in what we do and the students keep coming, then I think the future is rosy. And we will produce succeeding generations of young people who are indeed fit for the 21st century. Thank you.
This is a podcast from Cambridge Assessment. For more downloads, visit cambridgeassessment.org.uk.